Hey, Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week, I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, and today's episode is all about how pets improve our health. Now, the reason I wanted to do this podcast is because I've been thinking a lot about how we just got a dog. We have a puppy, Golden Retriever. He's now 12 weeks old. And, you know, I kind of was hesitant to get a puppy because we also have a 10-year-old Golden Retriever named Bear. And he's my boy. He is my baby. And so it was hard to let a new dog into the world and to think about how the heck am I going to deal with a puppy at this stage of the game. And yes, puppies are a lot of work, but I'm going to talk about why it's worth it and really all the benefits of having a pet. Because in my office, both of the dogs come in. Brian, the puppy, has been coming in more now because it's easier for me to watch him and my assistant to watch him during the day. And so it's just amazing to watch patients' faces light up when they see the dog, but also just the calming effect that he brings for a lot of people, even though he has piranha teeth. It's shocking. People are like, it's cool, no problem. I don't care that he's chewing my stuff. He's so cute. But the faces, the smiles on people's faces are just incredible. And that's worth it in and of itself to have the dog, even though sometimes he can be a pain in the butt. But it's worth it. And in particular, the reason that people smile and love looking at puppies is because they help us to promote a hormone release in our body called oxytocin. And oxytocin is our love hormone. It's what we release when we are having that need to want to connect with someone, to cozy up to someone, someone that we just adore. We get that happy feeling inside all the way to your toes. That is oxytocin at its best. And unfortunately, in the environments that we live in now, people really don't get that satisfaction, that love. And you might be thinking, how the heck is that possible? Well, I mean, unfortunately, what I see out there is we have a lot of people who are in relationships, but they're lonely. We have a lot of people who are actually alone and lonely. And what a dog can do for your immune system, for your body in general, is incredible. Because just laughing, just smiling, just making little puppy faces, oh, he's so cute kind of faces, really is good for your vagus nerve. And if you've listened to any of my other podcasts, the vagus nerve is your cranial nerve. It's your 10th cranial nerve. It's the longest nerve in the body, but it has a lot to do with how you adapt to stress. And so what I'm proposing here is that the dogs actually help you to adapt to stress better. And I've seen it in myself. I've seen it in my patients that you could be having the most crappiest day and the puppy's going to make you smile every time. And so will my older dog, Bear, who is a lovable 10-year-old dog. Now, you might be thinking, okay, I have allergies. I can't have an animal. Well, there are some other animals that can make you happy that don't require allergy components. I've had plenty of people that I know that actually have had lizards, iguanas, and love them just as much as one would a dog or a cat. So something to think about in that department. But I wrote down 10 main reasons why pets improve our health, and I want to go through them with you just to give you a little thought in terms of, if you're struggling with stress, you're struggling with loneliness, you're struggling with connectedness and socialization for that matter, you're just not able to connect with anyone, you're feeling just kind of down the dumps, having a pet might actually help with this. And there's plenty of research out there in many different arenas showing the benefits of having a pet. Now, of course, I'm a little biased because I have dogs. I am a dog person. Not that I don't like cats. I've had cats. I've had guinea pigs. I had a collared lizard at one point. I've had rabbits. I have had fish. My parents have probably flushed more fish than they want to admit. Probably didn't tell me about a few of those. but animals can do a lot for you, and today I just kind of want to talk about it, especially in the realm of the vagus nerve and helping you deal with stress. So I'm going to start with a little story, something that actually happened today, and I'm totally going to put it on the line and you can laugh at me all you want. So today I was having a pretty crappy day at work. It was like everything that could possibly go wrong did. I was juggling the puppy by myself. I didn't have my assistant. And so I was kind of not liking the puppy a little bit this morning. But I got to drop him back off at home this afternoon. I went back to work to see some more patients, and I went to go to the bathroom. And I was going to the bathroom. I looked down, and there is a bite in my underwear that is the perfect size of my little puppy Brian's mouth. So somehow he got a hold of my underwear without me knowing, took a big chomp out of it. I have not seen that piece of underwear. Gosh knows where that is. Man, but it made me laugh, and laughing is huge. I think a lot of us don't laugh enough. We don't find joy in life. We just get in the grind and just go, 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 do, do, do. And watching puppies play is hilarious. Having them to your underwear, maybe not hilarious for everybody, but for me, I had to laugh. It was one of my good ones, too. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about? Like, not your gross period underwear, like your good underwear. But once I just bought, too, he's got a good taste on underwear. What can I say? Dang it. But it's fun to watch them play. You can't help but laugh. I love it when he's rolling around in the office with his little chew toy and just biting on it and just kind of wiggling back and forth. So laughter in and of itself is huge to help with your vagus nerve. Another big thing with animals is they really help you to slow down a little bit. Because you got to take care of them, right? And you got to slow down to smell the roses, like when you want to take them for a walk or when you want to do something with them. You have to slow them down. You have to teach them things, and that can be frustrating. So it also teaches you a little bit of patience. But what I've found with a lot of my patients that I've recommended getting a pet to is that they actually turn from someone who's a go, 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 do, 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 everything's going to be on a time schedule to a more laid back individual. So if you are type A and causing some strife in your life by, you know, pushing it to the limits a little much, and you're trying to figure out how to manage stress a little better and calm yourself down and slow down and smell the roses a little bit, a puppy or just an animal in general can help you with this. In particular, yes, I'm a little bit more aimed towards puppies since, of course, I'm biased and have one. But the other big thing is patience. So one of the things that I've learned, because I don't have children, I have fur babies, is that you have to have patience. And folks who have kids know all about this. Me, I used to tell my mom, patience is a virtue I don't have. But I'm learning it because Brian can grate on my nerves. In addition to chewing my underwear at some point in the last couple weeks, he also was trying to chew on one of my patients' jackets today. And I had to grab him, and he growled at me and kind of nipped at me, and I had to put him on his back and just breathe with him there because he was fighting me a little bit, and I was like, all right, dude, chill out. And I slowed down. And he was really stressing me out, but slowing down and breathing with him, kind of just chilling him out, I actually felt better. And things in life at that moment didn't feel as crazy and chaotic. So they force you to breathe. And breathing is great for stress management, and it's also really great for convincing your body that there's not a bear chasing you. Absolutely important. It's one of the number one things that we can do to reduce our stress levels. So another interesting component about animals, and this is no secret, but they want to play, right? And so they get you to play and move more. And if you're struggling with moving during the day and getting up and being active, a puppy can help big time. An animal can help big time in general. You can walk cats. I totally saw it just the other day. Cat on a leash while we were out at Lake Quinault Resort here in Washington. It was cool. I saw it on TV, but I never saw it in person. This guy just like whipped a cat out of a backpack with a leash on, put the cat down, and the cat started walking like he was a dog. That's pretty cool. But point being is they want to play. And cats, just like dogs, love to play. And it gets you up and moving. And then, of course, it makes you laugh, too. So now you've got a smile and a laugh. And it also is an excuse for you to channel your inner five-year-old, which I'm always looking for excuses. But this is a biggie. Now, another cool thing that we've discovered with our dogs is that they like playgrounds. And if you have playgrounds that are pet-friendly ones, you know, as long as you keep them on a leash, you can go into the playground. Just make sure you go late at night, because there's not going to be kids there. But dogs, and mine in particular, Brian, loves the slide. He will run up the thing and, like, go down the slide before you even can get to the other end of it. And he needs no coercing. He loves it. Bear, on the other hand, not so much. But Bear does like to crawl around through the tunnels at our local parks. So, you know, I could be going rogue here. But if you play on the playground with the dogs, ultra cool and really great for you, your health, and channeling your inner five-year-old. Okay, so there's all this play stuff, but another thing that can help you with the fight or flight response is dogs force you into a routine, right? You have to go to the bathroom at a certain time. They have to be fed at a certain time. Same with cats, fish, guinea pigs, rabbits, whatever your pet may be. Now, the cool part is that we are creatures of habit too. And so if we have these animals help us to get into a routine, guess what? We do better when we have a routine. Same with kids. The school year is great, but when we get out of the school year and there's no routine, things go off the rails. Moms become more stressed. I see it every single year. School lets out and moms lose the routine, and then chaos ensues. Routine, routine. Sounds kind of boring, but hey, we are cavemen and we like our routines. And it's pretty cool that the dogs will adjust to that in particular, just because that's my experience. My dog Bear, I swear he knows when it's Saturday versus a weekday, because he and I, we go to the grocery store together every morning. On Saturday mornings, we'll go, and he knows that that's time for him to hang out with me, no Brian, no puppy, and he looks forward to it, and I think he knows, and he will sit by the door and be like, hello, and if I seem like I'm diverting from the routine, he's like, no, wait, what's wrong? He also knows that I go to the gym every morning, and he's wanting to go with me every morning, and before I had the puppy Brian, Bear would go with me. Now they both go with me if my husband's not taking him. But they know the routine. It's crazy. So the other big thing with animals is kind of like routine. It's organization. Because with puppies in particular, or small, new pets, they like to chew things. They like to get into things. Same with cats. They like to get into things. And so you have to clean up some of your clutter, which is great for the brain because it won't stress out the brain by having too many things around you. So it helps you to simplify, organize, things of that nature. So all the things I'm always talking about in terms of helping with overall good balance and stress management in life. Now, my husband wanted me to put this other one on here in that when you have a dog, you end up eating fewer calories. And that's because he's really bad at feeding some of his food to Bear in particular, but sometimes Brian. Now, I'm not going to propose having an animal as a way to lose weight because we shouldn't be feeding them junk food and not so much of the human food. However, most of it is closest to nature kind of food that we eat, so it's not too far out of the realm. But no ding-dongs and ho-hos for the dogs and the animals. You wouldn't do that anyway. That's chocolate. Sorry, off base on that one. Don't give them zingers. The vanilla Twinkie things. The knockoffs. They even sell zingers anymore? I don't even know. If someone out there knows if zingers still exist, I want to see a message because I used to see them when I was a kid, but I don't know if they exist anymore. So if they are out there, someone let me know. All right. So one of the cool things, too, about having an animal, because you're moving more, you often tend to sleep more, like sleep better, not sleep more, but sleep better, because they're going to wear you out a little bit. I think a lot of us who have problems with insomnia related to work issues or things of that nature is that we don't move enough to actually wear out our bodies. So something to think about in terms of the overall effect. Now, of course, one of the big reasons that we end up getting a animal is because it's something to love, something that's going to love you, something that you can pay attention to, something that, you know, depends on you. And now, you know, a little different between a fish and a cat and a dog. The cat might not give you as much affection as a dog. The fish, I don't know. I mean, he might look at you and give you fish lips and say, hey, what's up? But they all depend on you. For food, they depend on you, you know, for all kinds of things. I think it can help folks with motivation in life. And for me, it's motivation to give your best to care for this particular creature. And for me, I love my dogs. If you look on my Instagram, my Facebook, you're going to see pictures of them all over the place. But for me, it's something that, you know, they're always happy to see you no matter how grumpy you are. They're always going to brighten up your day. And for me, that's important because, of course, I don't have children. I chose to have fur babies. And, you know, it's very similar to what children can do for you, minus some issues. Let's just end it at that. But there's like consistency with animals and loyalty with animals that sometimes people don't get in their everyday life. And if you're someone who's alone or single and, you know, not looking to try to find a partner or something of that nature, but you're like, I really want to have some social connectedness with something and I want some consistency. I mean, animals know who feeds them. They love you. And in my work, I see a lot of people who have had multiple traumas, whether it's an abusive relationship, whether it is traumas from injuries, things of that nature. Whatever it may be, I've always found that having a pet helps with healing wounds. And yes, there's tons of research in terms of oxytocin, like I mentioned before, which is a hormone that we create when we're feeling connectedness to someone, when we're feeling love and we're happy. But I find that having a connection with a pet can also help with mental health in general. And United Kingdom researchers in 2016 had some amazing research in demonstrating how that effect happens on humans who have pets. And I find that cool. The same thing type of research was done by the University of Minnesota in 2016 that showed how pets can improve depression, anxiety, and social isolation. So we have a lot of proof in terms of how a pet can positively impact your mental health. Now, it's no secret if you go to the airport these days, and I've heard that the different airlines are starting to really cut down on their acceptance of emotional support animals since it's gotten out of hand. I heard some article about emotional support animals in the realm of parakeets and snakes, which, hey, whatever your flavor of pet is, I don't, you know, they're all same. They're going to depend on you. They're going to be loyal to you, and you're going to love hanging out with them and laugh and play with them and really boost some good feelings in that brain and boost serotonin and boost your oxytocin and lower cortisol at the same time, since cortisol being our stress hormone that I am convinced leads us into a very quick death. It may be, I say quick, let's say it this way, a decline in your ability to age well. Because if your cortisol levels remain high, your blood sugar goes up. There's lots of issues. Weight gain, depression, anxiety, insomnia, the list goes on. Really just degradation of your overall health. But having all of this documented research in terms of how pets help our brains, it's good. It's incredible. And the reason I wanted to do this podcast is because of the impact I see in my office from having these animals. Now, you know, in terms of emotional support animals, I am in favor of folks having emotional support animals, but animals that are trained, because I have been on planes with people that have small animals, small dogs in particular, that bark the whole time, which, you know, you can liken it to a screaming child throughout a whole flight. You can. I guess it's the same. I guess you could argue that. But let's put it this way. Some animals clearly aren't trained to be emotional support animals. And that's a different story. And that's not for this podcast. However, I do see the point of having an animal around so that you can feel the love from them and calm your anxiety. And I'm a huge fan of having folks bring their animals into my office if they want to have the animal while they're getting acupuncture or while we're visiting. I think it's great. I'm just blown away by how much my dogs impact my patients' lives. Now, I'm not going to say that every single one of my patients wants to hang out with my dogs, and I don't force anybody to. We keep the dogs out of the rooms for the most part. And, you know, obviously if a patient wants to bring one in, then we will. But we vacuum often because obviously there's the allergic component to the dogs. And I have golden retrievers, which if anyone's seen one of those, there's lots of fur involved in that and lots of vacuuming. But if folks are not allergic, I have seen some really great progress with patients who otherwise are socially awkward, are otherwise stressed out, otherwise coming into my office crying. You know, I see a gamut of a lot of depression, anxiety, and it's really impressive how patients, you know, get in with the animal and start petting the animal and the change in mood and the laughter that you would never expect that that person would even exhibit just by playing with these animals. So my point here is that if you're feeling lonely, if you're frustrated about being depressed, anxious, maybe feeling socially isolated, because I just read an article the other day, I don't know if it was in the Times or what magazine, but it was talking about how do we truly know if a friend is a friend, and how do we navigate a world that is very dependent on social media and not dependent on old school face-to-face contact. A lot of us don't even see people face-to-face and go hang out with friends anymore like people did even 10, 15 years ago. And you can imagine if your life was void of interactions. So you work from home, say you're living alone, say your family's in another state, say you move to the new state and you have no friends there yet. I mean, I can imagine how lonely that would be. And having an animal keeps you engaged socially. It keeps you socialized because we're animals too. Keeping that in mind, don't forget. So my point here is really that if you're having issues with anxiety, depression, and you're really feeling isolated and lonely, if you can at all swing it, it might be worth it to grab an animal of some sort, a pet, and really work with that pet to be a good long-term companion. Now, say you're living in an apartment and you know that the policy is no animals. Well, you can get a doctor's note that says you need an emotional support animal. Now, it might sound kind of weird that I'm saying this, but truth be told, I've seen a lot of difference in my patients who I've recommended getting a pet, and I've written plenty of letters for folks to get an emotional support animal, even though the particular apartment or location that they're living in doesn't officially accept these animals. Now, granted, you need to make sure if you're going to choose to have a pet that you are going to be responsible for this pet. They're children. Once you have them, you know, obviously they don't live as long as we do, but once you have them, it's a responsibility. It's a big responsibility. A puppy and the puppy is lots of responsibility. I think it's almost more than a baby in some cases on a given day. Let's put it that way. No offense to moms out there, because I'm not discounting the daily struggles you go through. But puppies are tough, and, you know, getting used to an animal is tough. But in the end, it's really worth it. And I can't tell you how much change I've seen in a lot of my patients that I've recommended getting a pet. In particular, I have one gal in my practice who, after she got a dog, she started to walk more. She wanted to lose weight. She was starting to get her steps. She was trying to do 10,000 steps a day and was struggling. But once she got a puppy, all of a sudden, no big deal to get the 10,000. And the weight started coming off. And she was stuck in a plateau for a really long time and frustrated and depressed and angry. And boom, as soon as she got this puppy, it was like a lotus flower opening up. It was like, everything changed for her. And it was amazing. And she just became a much happier person. Speaking of happier people, I got to tell you my story with my first golden retriever, Bear. So Bear was my husband's birthday present back in 2008, but he quickly became my biggest present. And my husband, while he's a little bit jealous, he does say that Bear is really my dog. Bear and I have had a very long history of snuggling. He is just, I don't know, he is my emotional support animal. He is my baby. He follows me around. My husband says it's because he knows that I need him. And I think that's true. I think he really does follow me because he knows that I am sensitive. I have struggled. Bear's been with me, coming home at night from work and just being stressed. Anytime I'm in tears, I think I've probably cried on him as much as he slobbered on me. He's just that good at snuggling. He will, if I'm laying on the couch, he's going to come up there with me. If I'm laying on the bed, he's going to come up there with me. Every morning, like clockwork, at 3:45 a.m., he asks to come up on the bed. And he does ask. He will nose me and say, can I come up? And, you know, I don't know why he always noses, because I'm always like, yeah, come on up. But I think the part for me with Bear is that he's been a consistent companion. He's always there. He always is ready to hug or love on me. You know, if my husband's mad at me because I made him mad, at least the dog will give me a hug. He just I don't know what it is about him. He knows how to just get in the right position and nuzzle his head underneath my chin. He puts his paw on me a lot and in just a sweet way, like almost like he's saying, like, Mom, it's okay. It's going to be okay. You know, we have a joke in our house. Because I'll admit it, sometimes I say the F-bomb when I'm mad, and Bear just gets really upset. He will show it very visibly how upset the F-bomb makes him. Usually he runs away at first, but then he comes, like, sneaking around, and he's like, Mom, you said the F-bomb. Is everything okay? He's just such a calm and peaceful character that I can't help but love him, but also I can't help but explain how much love he gives me and how much it means to me. I would almost venture to say that the relationship we have is very different compared to a human-to-human type of relationship. There's just this amount of love going on, which you don't tend to find with humans, and understanding without communicating, I guess. I don't know. It takes away, let's put it this way, it takes away the complications that come with human feelings. He just knows. That's it. That's the best way to say it. He just knows when I need him. He knows what I need. And a lot of times, you know, it's hard for humans to communicate that. And usually when we don't get what we need, we get angry. And we don't mean to, but we get frustrated. And a lot of times when I'm frustrated with my husband because I don't know how to communicate, it's like Bear's there. He's there to just be like, Mom, it's going to be okay. I'm going to snuggle you. I might lick you too, but I'm going to snuggle you and it's going to be okay. And I think for a lot of people out there who have even husbands and families, I think that for us, there's just something about silent communication where you don't even have to say a word. And there's just that connectedness. That's probably the best way I can describe it. Connectedness without having to use words. And yes, some relationships between humans can be that way in advanced relationships, but for the most part, what I've seen, it's harder. It's harder with humans. We're too wordy of individuals, whereas a pet, and in particular a dog, they just can say a lot without saying anything at all. And sometimes when you're tired after a long day at work, and maybe you have a job like mine where I talk a lot with people and I have a lot of personal interaction with people, sometimes you don't want to talk. You just want to be silent. And Bear is pretty much the most amazing companion in that he just gets it. He just gets me. And he's gotten me through a lot of rough times. Like I said, he's slobbered on me just as much as I've cried on him. And I don't know what I would do if I didn't have him. And I don't have that connection yet with the puppy. And I think that's okay. I don't remember making the connection as strong with Bear until things really started to hit the fan with stress and my ability to deal with stress and anxiety while we lived in Colorado. So he's really helped quite a bit. And I've seen in so many different cases where animals just really do help the emotional side of what we go through as a struggle as being human. They truly are, or there truly is a reason for why the saying is the dog's a man's best friend. It's true. There's a lot of reasons to have a pet when, you know, it seems that humans just don't connect with you as well. And humans, you know, they have their faults, let's put it that way. And, you know, a pet is a pure love and a pure loyal companion. And there isn't that question of, are they a friend? You know they are. You know in your heart, you know in your soul that they're your friend. There's not this, are they going to talk about me? Or are they going to, you know, do X, Y, or Z? You know, I think a lot of us have some serious traumas related to human interaction and being, you know, wronged by people. Let's put it this way, maybe backstabbed, things of that nature. Unfortunately, humans are not the kindest individuals. And so having a pet friend or a pet companion can really help you to find the balance in all that is crazy with humans. So there you have it. Bear is my buddy. I know that he's not going to live forever, which is maybe why we have the puppy too. That was more my husband's idea. Bear is my boy. I think that's probably the best I can say about it. He's my buddy and a true buddy. No questions asked, no questions in my head about, you know, what is he thinking? I know what he thinks, and it's just a lot of love. So if you're looking for a golden retriever like Bear, Denzel's Goldens in Oroville, Washington is one place that I would highly recommend looking at. Denzel'sGoldens.com. That is where we got Brian. Bear came from a family in Colorado that was breeding Goldens. They're no longer breeding anymore, unfortunately. But Brian's family and his folks who raised him up in Oroville are great folks. I highly recommend checking it out. It's not a puppy mill. It's a great place for dogs to be brought up. And Brian's got a great personality. I'm excited to see how he turns out. Maybe you might be thinking, why is his name Brian? My husband loves The Family Guy, the TV show, and of course the dog on there is Brian, and so this is why we have a Brian. Bear was named after my husband's favorite football team, the Chicago Bears. So there you have it in terms of background on the doggies. But anyway, I love to talk about my dogs. I could probably talk everybody's ear off for hours and hours, but I understand that you all have things to do. So you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausend.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the join group button on our website at drjkrausend.com.